Thank you. I got about 1,000 thank yous to make. You all are awesome. You just, what you do to me, I couldn't even stand up at that second or third song we were singing. I was totally losing it. Thank you so much for your love and unity. The blessing that this congregation is beyond. God is doing wonderful things in your lives. Don't ever doubt His hand and His purpose for you. I told you I kind of lost it in the middle of the song. I had to go back and get a couple of tissues because I wasn't prepared for that. And I'm back there and I look at the wall. And there's the, I think it's a Rocky Mountain Christian or whatever the newspaper is we had back there. And the headline was, Prentice Metter goes to his father or meets his, or his, ends his time or goes home or whatever. Prentice Metter when I knew him, he was working out of St. Louis, I believe. He ended up last 19 years working in Dallas with the churches down there, and he died on November 24th. And I just heard about it about 45 minutes ago. The man crossed our lives, Carol and my and Andrea and Brady's lives, when we were living in Germany, and he spent about a week with us. And he touched my life and directed my heart and my future in ways that I'm still thinking about. I think about the lessons that man taught me and the way he lived in our home for that week and the way he touched me. And to realize that he's passed on, I want to pass on to you how much one contact, it was 1 week of his life that he overlapped our lives, one contact and how much it changes things. Don't ever doubt God's powerful hand in your lives. And you all are powerfully used by God. I wanted to mention, Troy, thank you so much for that story. The scripture that kept coming to my mind as you were reading that is from 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. You're not your own. And beautifully said, brother. The guy in your story, though, I thought it interesting. He argued a lot longer about his fly rod than he did his wife. I just was wondering about that one point there. Made it accurate, sound more accurate, believable, though. Sorry, couldn't resist. Great to be together. Great to be together. How magnificent it is to be together. And I could tell you why some other time. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your magnificent love and your purpose brought in your church. Father, thank you for making the church a living, active body of your Son, that we can know Him and be Him and work in Him. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us and that we can walk our days guided by your Word, renewed by Him, that His sanctification, at least through Him, can be ours. Father, thank you so much for your care in our days. And we pray, Father, that every day we live, we can seek to walk more diligently for you, that we can be more determined every day in faith and love and purpose to be totally, totally yours. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I bring you greetings from a few different congregations in Central Ohio. We had a wonderful, wonderful visit back there. But those, I don't want to go into any of those stories. We're glad to be home. We're so glad to be home. We're so glad to be home. Thank you for saving a little bit of the cold. I was afraid we were going to miss it. I know this isn't much, but it was 13 below this morning, so that's enough to get your attention. I know you had a lot colder over the past few weeks, but I love the winters, and I always look forward to the time it settles in like this and the high pressure system sits on top of us for a while. This is Alaska to me. So thanks for saving it. So it's Happy New Year, I guess I should add. Did you set any New Year's resolutions? Did you sit down December 28th and start writing a few that you were going to determine to do? You didn't, Wes? Have you thought about New Year's resolutions? After the we're weighing our after the holidays, and we're packing up and getting ready to go, and we had to weigh our suitcases. They charge you $15 if you fly Northwest. Sorry, Jay. Anyway, per suitcase. So we're weighing our suitcases to make sure they don't weigh 450 pounds, and I had to get on the scale to check the scale to grab the That scale was so wrong. That scale was so wrong. It's amazing they sell products that malfunction that badly. From before the holidays to after the holidays, that scale just went.
I got the same one.
Take them back. We ought to send them back to the manufacturer. So, weight loss might be a New Year's resolution. Is there some task you really want to accomplish this year? You establish that as a resolution. People often will take the New Year to say, they're going to stop smoking or they're going to stop some other habit that they want to get out of their lives. Or fitness, exercise, the Alaska Club's put out this special, 2 months free or whatever. Just sign up for 20 years and we'll give you the 2 months free. Sometimes we look at moral changes or relationship changes. I remember sometimes when I would resolve, I said, okay, I'm going to write one letter to somebody every week. I'm going to sit down every week and write down just one note, one letter, put it in the mail. My brother, my mother, somebody's going to get a letter from me. Anyway, it was a thought. I really wanted to accomplish that. We struggle with anger. We wanted to change those things, with laziness, with lust. We want to have a better life. We want to have dinner. We're going to have dinner 3 times a week with the family. 3 times. We're going to all sit down. We're all going to have dinner. We set out these resolutions, family devotionals, personal prayer life, personal Bible study. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to find a new person every month and share my faith with that person. We set out these determined, wonderful goals for our lives. Or do we? Or do we? We often don't do that. We often don't set out resolutions. Maybe we used to. Why not? Well, the same reason that I haven't been able to write a letter to somebody in my family every week. Because we know the usual result of those resolutions. They're great ideas. They are terrific things. Boy, I wish that I could. And we get weary of the disappointment. We get fed up with failure. Other people are disciplined. Why can't I be disciplined? Other people accomplish things in their lives. Other people are terrific letter writers. I can put a sentence together. Why aren't I a terrific letter writer? How wonderful it would be to be disciplined. To be able to accomplish that next task, that goal, that next desire to say, I really want this. We look around and feel so much that other people are able to accomplish things. Maybe you're one of those who can accomplish things. Maybe you're the person who wrote your report a week ahead of time in high school. Maybe, you were handed it to the teacher a week early and said, could you review this, please? And the rest of us were still trying to figure out what subject we were going to write on. We wrote it the night before or the morning of. That kind of disappointment is a killer to some of our growth and discipline. We just read in 2 Peter chapter 1. We just read in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence, verse 5, In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, then they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from his former sins. Well, great. I get the Bible telling me I'm blind or short-sighted for failing to grow, for failing. You know, every step in that process is a step of discipline, even though the middle of the process we just read about has the very idea of discipline, self-control. Isn't that the crux of it? Isn't that the issue at hand? We look at our past failures. We look at our weariness. I got to get used to these lights. I got to see if I can do this. Might try it with my glasses off. We look at our weariness. My notes are in focus, but you're not in focus now. So when I look Gary right in the eye, if he knows, yeah, there he is. He knows I can't really look at him in the eye. We sometimes get angry. We sometimes assign blame for our failures. But usually we just grab another bucket of guilt and another bucket of defeatism and another bucket of woe is me, and we go along with our lives, carrying an even greater amount of guilt with us. And so not only have we not achieved the goal we really wanted in our lives, that good thing out there, not only have we not got to the good point, but now we feel even worse ourselves than if we hadn't started out in the process on January 1 anyway. Who thought of these New Year's resolutions in the first place? And so when it comes to New Year's resolutions, a lot of us just say, never mind. It's too painful to go through the process. But a good way, first of all, the Word calls us to discipline. God calls us to diligence. God calls us to self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, discipline in its own way, is a result, is a byproduct of God's Spirit being with us by knowing His Word and walking in Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. The next verse in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Gets right back to what Troy was saying. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires. Discipline is exactly at that intersection. Personal discipline, self-control, is exactly at that point. I've looked up different definitions, practical definitions of discipline or self-discipline. One says it's the ability to get yourself to take action regardless of your emotional state. Regardless of your feelings about it, you're going to take action. I like the simpler one that says Christian discipline is doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Well, that sounds great. We can probably stir each other's up and make and get out of here and make another list. Okay, I got it. I'll make some New Year's resolutions. I'll start off this year and I'll write down and I'll... How do you do that again? So we don't want to just stir up an idea or get excited about being something. We want a process. We need some hands-on. We need some mechanics to get there. The Word calls us to be people who have self-control, who have discipline in our lives. We admire people who are disciplined. You know, the guy stands up on the podium at the Olympics and they put the 8th gold medal around his neck. And you got to know, for the past 12 years, that guy's been getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning swimming laps in some pool somewhere. Every morning, day after day after day. He probably still throws his socks on the floor, though. I don't want to pick on Michael Phelps. I only want to say that we admire people who have discipline in their lives. And we see great accomplishments possible because of discipline. But in fact, the Bible says great accomplishments are possible because of Him. And through Him, we learn self-control and discipline. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, discipline, part of the reason we like to hold it at arm's length is not only the failure of it, but the process of it is uncomfortable. The process isn't any fun. Hebrews 12:11 reads, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet for those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." You know, that might be the second best reason to embrace discipline and self-control in your lives. The best reason is because God calls it to us. That's the reason to do it, is He says, be diligent, be self-controlled, be disciplined. But the second best reason is the result of the process, the result of the pain and the difficulty and the anguish, the result is peace. Result is righteousness. The result is that wonderful accomplishment of having a life in God that's moving forward. There is more joy in Christ than we know. There is more peace to be had. And you don't need to go any farther than the stories in the scriptures that show you men and women at peace when the sword's being held up to their neck, and when the flames are being lit. Hebrews talks of them being sawn in two, being joyful at the confiscation of their property. Paul and Silas singing in prison when they'd just been beaten, they expected to be executed. That kind of peace. Forget economic troubles. We don't have economic troubles here. Not serious ones. There are places around the world that have serious economic troubles. This nation has been through serious economic troubles in the past. Massive unemployment, riots, upheaval, a depression that lasted for nearly a decade. We've got a difficulty. We've got a blip in the radar here, but as Christians, we walk through this thing in confidence and peace and joy, having the peaceful fruit of righteousness because we've learned from God self-control and discipline and purposed places in our lives. Well, Paul describes this sacrifice. Paul describes this journey of discipline in his own life in 1 Corinthians 9. I'd like you to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and see how Paul approached his own self-discipline. I can already tell that we won't finish this lesson today, or I'll have to rush through it, and I don't want to rush through it. I want us to have a purposed, practical lesson in our hands, so that this kind of growth can be something we're used to. When we set out to accomplish a certain goal, when we set out